Blog Talk Radio.
To Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me. I am excited. I am super duper excited about the message on tonight. Woo! I tell you, every time there is, there is something. I've been doing this for about 6 years now. I've been saying 5 years for the last 2 years, but about 6 years. And, it's something about when you know that God has a powerful word for us as believers. For me, I know it when he has that word, he's dealt with me on it. And it's funny because I get a nervousness in the pit of my, what you would call stomach, but I believe that that's right in the pit of my spirit, that I get this nervousness. And I'm not still sure why that nervousness come about. And I believe that it comes about because when I know that it is a powerful word that God has placed in me and I'm only a vessel, I guess my desire to be able to communicate that word effectively makes me nervous, like, oh, Lord, you sure you want me to do this? Are you sure your daughter? Because I, you know, me, like many of you, sometimes just feel like we're so unworthy, that we're unworthy to be used by God. And so sometimes he uses me in ways that I just be like, oh, I'd be mind blown. I'm like, oh, my gosh, Lord, really? Me? Sometimes these shows I do, don't get me wrong, I study to show myself approved. But sometimes these shows I do, I tell you, sometimes God lets me know exactly what direction he's going. But oftentimes, I'm just as mesmerized by what he has me to say as you are. It ministers to me just as much as it ministers to you all listening in. And I believe tonight is going to be one of those kind of nights. I believe that God has a multiple word for us. I believe that he has a word of warning for us on tonight, but I also believe that he has a word of knowledge for us on tonight. And I believe with both we could be encouraged. I believe we could be encouraged because I think when we know better, we'll do better. When we know better, we'll do better. My last Sunday, as I said in church, the pastor had did a message. He really did a message on giving and tithing. And he has a master's in finances. So he's really good with finances. And he's, you know, that's his trade. That's his trade is financing. And so he used what he knows, his knowledge, his gift, his talent as it pertains to finances. And then he kind of pulls it together and biblically, and it helps you to understand biblically what finances, biblically why it's important to tithe, what, you know, the principle of piety and the principle of giving. Well, I'm not going to talk to you about that on tonight, but when he spoke about that, he came from the book of Haggai, and when he came from that book of Haggai, it touched me in a way that I was encouraged to do a 10-day fast. And God dropped in my spirit particular individuals that he wanted me to send this out to and challenge them to do the same fast. And the fast consisted of reading Haggai chapter 1 and 2, and they're very short chapters. Haggai is a minor prophet, and oftentimes the minor prophet gets skipped over. You know, they're the ones right in between all the excitement from the Old Testament, all the fighting and excitement and taking the land and stepping into the promise, and then they're the ones right in between where they just went silent into, and then we got into the New Testament, amen. And the challenge was to read Haggai every day, chapters 1 and 2, the entire chapters. They're very small. I mean, it's literally about a 10-minute read, if that long, to read it every day for 10 days, but not just read it, to meditate on it and to pray, and that there would be a great breakthrough. And it wasn't just a financial breakthrough, but it was going to be a breakthrough in whatever the areas that you believe in God for in your life, whether it be family members getting saved, your finances, or if it was just something as simple as, you know, praying for, you know, some breakthrough for your children or for your marriage or whatever the case, addiction, whatever the thing was, that there would be breakthrough because it was about the obedience. I had no clue. When God dropped that in my spirit, I had no clue what the book of Haggai was going to entail. I'm telling you, I had no clue. And I read it first through NIV. And I was like, Lord, really? Now that I already spoke this out to people and told them to do this challenge for 10 days, and I'm listening to, you know, I'm reading through NIV, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I think I miss God. That was my word exactly. Darn it, I think I miss God. Now, how I'm gonna go back and tell these people, don't do this 10-day, you know, on second thought, let's not do the 10-day challenge. And so as I sat up in bed, just read the NIV, confused as all outdoors because I just didn't get it, I heard God say, go to the Message. And the Message is another translation of the Bible. And I like King James. But sometimes I'll read King James and then I'll go to the Message. For me, it gives a little better understanding. And you got to be careful with translations, but it breaks it down into layman terms. And when I began to read that thing in the Message, it gave so much revelation. It gave so much revelation, and it blessed me. And every day that I read it on this 10-day journey, it blesses me. And so tonight, I want to bless you. And see, for me, I get blessed when God shows me the errors of my ways. You know, some people get offended. Some people get rebellious. Some people shut down. But for me, when God corrects me, I get blessed. I really do. I'm not offended. You know, I just really get blessed because it does a few things for me. First of all, it gives me a new revelation. So it gives me a new revelation. You know, I say often, when you know better, you do better. Now I got this revelation. I know better. Now I can do better. Believe it or not, most of us do things out of ignorance. We do things not because we're maliciously trying to do something that's so not so great. We do things because we are, because we just don't know. We just don't know better. And it never dawned on us. You know, we never thought to ask about certain things. For example, where I'm going tonight, one of the things I want to make aware is because where I'm going tonight from the book of Haggai, and I'm going to be reading it, I honestly believe that the name it and claim it movement, the prosperity movement, really, you know, it didn't help the warning of Haggai. It didn't make things better for us. It actually made things worse for us. And the problem with this theology is several things. And I'm going to name a few just to be, for example, when we get into the point of naming it and claiming it, to me, it becomes very self-absorbed because now it becomes about what I want, what I want, what I need, I. You know, and it gives the illusion that whatever I want, if I speak it and claim it, I can have it. And I don't think that could be further from the truth. But that's what the belief system is. If you know, you speak it, you name it, you claim it, then that's what you're going to get. And so it's very self-centered. It's very self-absorbed. So what I'm going to do before we go any further about this whole, you know, this name it and claim it theology, it actually came about and it began to be taught through televangelists, faith healers, mega churches, Pentecostal preachers. It was also called word of faith. And God, faith is something that we all must live by because it says without faith it's impossible to please God. But see, when you start doing the name and claim it, then now it's no longer faith. Because why do I say that? Why do you say that, Coach D? Start asking questions why. I say that because if we're naming and claiming and we're believing that when we name something, if we say we want it, we're going to get it, then is that really faith in God? Because, see, we have to be able to have faith in God when he blesses us, and we have to be able to have faith in God when he don't bless us. If I name and claim having a Jaguar, And I have faith that God's going to give me that Jaguar, and then God don't give me that Jaguar because God know that I can't afford to pay the Jaguar, nor can I afford to pay the maintenance on the Jaguar, then I'm going to be mad at God. Because, see, we have to be able to have faith that when God does not answer a prayer, that God knows best. And we have to get to a point that when we name the claim, that's our will. And we have to know that it's not our will, but thy will be done. So we got to know that we got to be in the perfect will. We want to be in the perfect will of God. Amen. So let's get to, hey, God, we're going to do some reading here. And we already know that people want to fall asleep when people start reading scriptures. And when we start reading from the Bible, everybody want to fall asleep. That's the boring part. Everybody want to put me on mute and they want to watch yesterday's episodes of Empire and Greenleaf and all those other good things, and they don't want to pay attention because we really don't want to hear the scriptures, because guess what? We've been conditioned that the only time we want to really pay attention and focus attend when it has something to do with us, when it's going to have something to do with blessing us, when it's going to have something to do with our ship is coming in, our promise is going to be kept. You know, that's when we want to listen. But I'm going to encourage you on tonight to listen, because, see, the problem with what's going on today in the church, and let's call it like it is that nobody's teaching hell no more. Nobody's teaching hell. Nobody's teaching the wrath of God. As far as the way things are going right now in the body, God ain't even angry, let people tell me. We just have to be positive thinkers. We got to be positive and keep a good attitude. We got to speak what we want. And so, and it don't even say nothing about clean up your house. It don't even say nothing about the wages of sin is death. Now, somebody going to say, oh, amen. And if I step on your toes, that's okay. Just say hallelujah, ouch. Because nobody's teaching this. See, nobody's telling us that we got to get our acts together. Nobody's telling us why we're shacking up. Because he's going to marry me anyway. Nobody's telling us nothing. Because if we tell you something, if the church tells you something, then you ain't going to want to go to that church, because he done stepped on your toes. He done hurt your feelings. She done hurt your feelings. So you're not going to want to go to the church no more. So you'll quit your membership, or you'll go down the street to the next church that you think is going to be okay with your life of sin. And so we just been okay going through this. We just been going through life, doing what we want to do, do how we want to do, and still going before God and naming it and claiming it. That's not how it works. So tonight I'm going to tell you and I'm going to show you in scripture. We're going to read and we're going to find out, is God angry with us? The message on tonight is, while you're minding your business, and God's minding your business, who's minding God's business? I often say, I remember I was in a relationship at one point dating a young man. And in the relationship, the young man used to always tell me, just do you. And I would hear that and I would get offended, because in my mindset it was, if you're doing you and I'm doing you, then who's going to do me? In other words, if everything is all about you, if everything is all about me, you know, and I say about me because I want my bills paid. You know, some people that's not married want to be married. Some people that's married want more. We want more money. We want more. We want bigger houses. We want better cars. And this is we. This is all we want. I. So if that's what I'm about, so those same people that's about all of that, guess what else? They want God to be about it too. So they go around naming and claiming stuff in the name of Jesus, naming and claiming in the name of Jesus. They're going before the throne. They're even going up to the altars, asking the people at the altars to pray with them about their money, pray with them about new homes, pray with them about other financial opportunities. So now we've been trying to pull God into our mess. So not only am I in my mess, minding my business, now I want God to mind my business, because I want God to bless me with whatever my business is. And all the while I'm minding my business and God is minding my business, who is minding God's business? Well, this is where Hagar had a warning for the people of God. And we're going to go there. If you would bring out your Bibles, if you want, bring out your phones. And I'm going to take you there. We're going to read there. And I'm going to ask you to stay conscious, stay alert, stay aware, because this is a warning. This is a warning to us. But not only a warning, again, it is it's an encouragement, because we know better. And now that we're going to know better, we're going to do better. Amen. We will do better. So I'm going to Haggai, and I'm going to start with chapter 1. Now, these chapters, like I said, is very small, but it is a lot of reading, so I'm going to try to get through it quickly because I want to get through it. I want you to hear it. I'm going to emphasize on certain words. I might repeat certain things, but I want you to hear it, and I want you to hear the Spirit. I don't want you to hear the letter. I don't want you to hear the does and the ands and the therefores, but I want you to truly hear the Spirit of the Most High. I want you to hear his heart, because remember, Haggai is a prophet of God, and God is speaking to his prophet, and he's telling his prophet to go warn the people. Go warn the people. I'm disappointed. I'm upset, and you need to tell them. And so we're going to go chapter 1, Haggai. On the first day of the sixth month of the second year in the reign of King Darius of Persia, God's message was delivered by the prophet Haggai to the governor of Judea, son of Shealtiel, and to the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak. A message from God of the angel's army. The people procrastinate. They say this isn't the right time to rebuild my temple, the temple of God. Shortly after that, God said more, and Haggai spoke it. How is it that it's the right time for you to live in your fine new home, while the home, God's temple, is in ruins? And then a little later, God of the angel army spoke out again. Take a good hard look at your life. Think it over. You have spent a lot of money, but you haven't much to show for it. You keep filling your plate, but you never get filled up. You keep drinking and drinking and drinking, but you're always thirsty. You put on layer after layer of clothes, but you can't get warm. And the people who work for you, what are they getting out of it? Not much. A leaky, rusted out bucket, that's what. That's why God of the angel army said, take a good hard look at your life. Think it over. Then God said, here's what I want you to do. Climb into the hills and cut some timber. Bring it down and rebuild the temple. Do it just for me. Just honor me. You've had great ambitions for yourself, but nothing has come of it. The little you have brought to my temple have blown away, and there was nothing to it. And why? Because while you've run around, caught up with taking care of your own houses, my house is in ruins. That's why, because your stinginess, and so I've given you a dry summer and a skimpy crop. I've matched your tight-fisted stinginess by decreeing a season of drought, drying up fields and hills, withering gardens and orchards, stunning vegetables and fruits. Nothing, not a man or woman, not animal or crop, is going to thrive. That sounds like a curse to me. Nothing's going to thrive. Then the governor, Jerubbaal, son of Shealtiel, and the high priest, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and all the people with them listened, really listened to the voice of their God. When God sent the prophet Haggai to them, they paid attention to him and listened to Haggai. They honored God. Then Haggai, God's messenger, preached a good message to the people. I am with you, God's word. This is how God got Zerubbabel, Joshua, and all the people moving, got them working on the temple of God, of the angel army. This happened on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. I'm going to stop right there before I go to two. So I want to just reflect on some things. He's saying here, and this is God speaking through his prophet, and he's saying here, it ain't going to never, when is going to be the right time? Look at the condition. Now, you can look at this twofold. The first time, the first couple of days I read it, I thought about the temple, the body of Christ, the body of Christ. And I thought about when you think about the building, the church building, because we are the church. We're not a building. The church is not a building. But when you take the church and they gather together in the building, I'm talking about the people, the church, and being the temple of God. And so when I first read it, I seen how we're in the ruins. The church is in trouble. And I want to be careful because I hear people say, well, people's always down in the church. I want to encourage the church, but I want the church to begin to take seriously the word of God and the warnings from God. And so he's saying, hey, my church is falling apart. The church used to be the pillar of the community. When something was going on in the community, you knew that you was going to see the pastor or pastors. You knew that you was going to see them out marching. You knew that you was going to see them out knocking on doors. You knew that you was going to see them feeding the community or providing other needs. You knew that. And so now I believe that we got in these big churches and you know, we got this prosperity thing going on, and we got the big churches, and we made the churches bigger to get more people in. And so that's just more people that we're warehousing. And if you're not in your church and you're not teaching people how to discipleship, how to be disciples and follow the great commandment that tells us to go out into all these lands and preach the gospel, if we're not teaching, if people are coming through the door and they're getting saved and they're giving their lives to Christ, and we're not training them, not to keep them there, but training them to go out into all the nations, to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, then all we do is got a big warehouse. We got more conferences. We got more things that's going on, and all these conferences is a regurgitate. What do you mean regurgitate, Coach D? I mean that we got conferences after conferences after conferences, and guess what? Everybody in the conferences are saved. So we're not getting no new converts. We're not getting people that's coming to, you know, like old school revival. You gave a revival the whole week, and you were the people, the saints were supposed to invite family members and friends and neighbors who they knew weren't saved or who they knew was backslidden, and they were supposed to invite them for them to come in so that they could get their life back on track with Christ. And for those who didn't know Christ, they learned about Christ, and they brought themselves to the altar. But now we see like everything is everybody that's there. It's become a social event. It's become a networking thing. And God says, so who is, why are you doing all your stuff? Why are you naming it and claiming it? And you're driving around in your nice cars and your big houses and your nice outfits and your nice hair and your beautiful this and your beautiful that. Why are you doing all of that? And you've been taking care of your business. And I've been blessing you because you've been praying and asking for me to bless you. And I've been blessing you. When are you going to start being about my business? When are you going to start taking care of my house? Amen. When are you going to start tithing, you non-tithers? But you can't tithe because you say you don't have enough money and your money is tight and your money got to get you to the next payday. But guess what? The whole reason and all this is about, and I want you to hear, is that many of you have gotten confused. Many of you are eating your seed. Many of you don't have a harvest. You ain't got enough to do what you really need to do. Most of us don't have enough money to pay our bills. You know, so we don't have a harvest. We have a seed. And the problem with you all is that you've been eating your seed. The little bit that you got that won't do much is a seed. And what do with seeds? We plant seeds. We plant seeds. We water the seeds. And God causes the increase. And we're eating our seed. And now we're wondering why we don't have a harvest. So now we're running around and we're stressed out and we're going before the altar and we're going, you know, and we're calling our friends and We're asking the prayer warrior to pray with us because, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Every time you turn around, you're in a situation, you can't pay your bills, you can't pay your rent, you can't do this, you can't do that. And you're saying you don't know what you're going to do. And many times, if the truth be told, a lot of times people that are struggling with their finances, it's just because they mismanage. They're eating their seed. Mismanage, I say, because you can't go out and eat at a restaurant two or three times a week and you can't pay your light bill. You can't go get your hair and nails done, lady, and you can't pay your rent. You get where I'm going here? Some of us have just mismanaged our money because we've ate our seed. And if we understand the true principle of harvest, seed time and harvest time, then what we'll understand is that you know what a harvest is. When you plant seed, let's say you plant a row of seed, and that row produces 10 apple trees. Okay, so you plant the seeds, you don't see the 10 apple trees. And then when you think about 10 apple trees, 10 apple trees don't produce just one apple. So that one seed produced the tree, and that tree is going to produce multiple seeds, many seeds. It's going to produce 100-fold. And so when it does that, that's a harvest. So when them trees begin to rise up out the ground, and then they begin to produce apples, and it's harvest time, and you go through there and you begin to pick your apples, that's a harvest. That's a harvest. Now, if you take all those apples and you take them and you eat all the apples, and I'm using apples as an example. I'm not a farmer, so I only know the basics of you know, what happens with an apple tree, you know. But if you're wise, you got five apple trees. But if you're wise, after harvest time, you're going to want to take more seeds. So you're going to want to take some of your seeds and take those seeds and replant them, and so that you get more trees. So the more trees you have, the more apples you're going to produce, which means the more harvest, which means the more that you're going to have. Whether you're selling the apples, that means more money. Or you're using the apples to feed those less fortunate. Whatever it is, it's a harvest. You get what I'm saying? And so if you would have took those, that seed you had, if you would have took those seeds and not planted them, then what? You wouldn't have a harvest. And most of us are not planting our seeds, so we're not experiencing the harvest. So I just want to go that there. I want to put that on your mind. But we're going to get back to God's house. So in God's house, many of us are not sowing. We're not tithing. We're not giving. We're not sowing seed. And seed doesn't always have to be monetary. But monetary is a key because we know money is what makes the world go round. It's how we eat. You know, back in the biblical days, they didn't have the dollar, you know, or the euros or the peso, but they had gold and silver. That was the money in, you know, gold and silver and different types of, frankincense and different things like that. That was the barter and trade. That was the money back then. Nowadays, we don't use that as money. Nowadays, we have here in the U.S., we have the American dollar. And we know that we need this American dollar to eat. We know this. We need this to purchase food. We know we need this to keep buildings going and lights on, and so many, everything takes money. Okay, so when we talk about tithing and we talk about 10% of our earnings, it says, you know, of our earnings, you know, I've heard people say, well, I could just tithe my time. Well, you could definitely tithe your time. Is great if you you could do that with or without an income. But when you have an income, your 10% is your money. That's your treasure. And you should be sowing that. That's your seed that you're sowing. Because that seed that you're, when you sow that and you're diligent and you're consistent with doing that, then guess what? Things could be taken care of. The house of the Lord could be taken care of. Now, I don't know. Hey, God doesn't mention. I'm just assuming. I'm making an assumption. I'm making an assumption here. So don't pin me to the wall on it. But my assumption here is that when he talked about them in their fancy you know, their houses, their new houses, and, you know, they're eating good. How do I know they're eating good? Because he said here that their plates, you know, they fill up their plates, but they're never filled up. Their plates are full, but they're never filled up. It talks about them drinking, but they're always thirsty. It talks about layers of clothes. So, you know, I'm assuming that they're dressing good. They have shoes on their feet. They have winter jackets, and they have summer clothing and all of this, you know, but they still, the more they're getting, he's saying here, the more you're getting, the more you want. And yet, nothing you're giving back to me. Nothing you're giving back to God's house is what it's saying in here. And he's saying, you know, but then he goes on to tell them, after he just tell them about themselves, this is love. We all know this is love. How many of us, our mamas and our daddies, get on us about something? They get on us about something, and we be all butt hurt. We, you know, we all sad and stuff because they just confronted us, got on us, and we all sad and disappointed because they got on us. Our feelings is hurt. And then they tell her, and then they turn around and love on them. And in this, after he then got on them about their nonsense, after he then got on them about their bad behavior, he turns around and he tells them, I am with you. Still, even in our foolishness, even when we're not faithful, God is faithful. And reading this, as it began to penetrate in me, because see, this is back then, but it's the same now. God's word is the same today, yesterday, or forevermore. And it's the same today because we see the same foolishness. We even operated in the same foolishness. And so when I begin to read this and I begin to listen and to begin, it's if, you know, I begin to hear the Spirit of God in it, I realize, Lord, what, you know, what am I doing? Or what are we doing? What is the church doing? How do we just fall so behind? And so you start feeling like a kid. You know how you get on your kid about something. They become remorseful. They are sad. They didn't mean to disappoint you. They didn't mean to, you know, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, Dad. I didn't mean to disappoint you. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. You know, I didn't mean to be disobedient. And as you begin to read this, that should be the attitude is, Father God, I've blown it. I repent. I didn't mean to make it all about me. I'm sorry that I made it all about me with what I want and what I need, never about what you need from me. And what he needs from us, what he needs for us is obedience. He needs us to be obedient. He needs us to be faithful. Whatever he's given us, if he's blessed you with a job and you're getting your, and he's blessed you. See, just because you went out there and put the resumes in, just because you went out there and knocked on the door, just because you went out there and asked, he still blessed you because they didn't even have to pick you. You didn't have to get your job. Do you know how many people apply for your job? I mean, it's no telling. How many people applied for your job? But by God's grace, you're the one who got it. So he's blessed you with your job. Can't you bless him with your first fruit? Can you not bless him with that? Even if you didn't get nothing back. You know, a lot of us tithe because we understand the tithe principle. We think, okay, we tithe because I understand the principle of sowing and reaping. But even if you didn't read that, he's the one who blessed you with it. So it don't even belong to you no way. So we got to give our first fruit. We got to give the first 10, you know, 10% in our tithe. That's not an option. You don't have that option. And when you think you have an option, and when you can pick and choose how much you tithe, because tithe is the 10th. That's what tithe means. It don't mean 3%. It don't mean 1%. It don't mean 5%. It means 10%. Now, why are we talking about, why did this get about money, Coach D? Because, again, I'm telling you, the house is torn down. His house is torn down. And a part of, I believe, his house being torn down is people being disobedient. They're not bringing all. If you go back to Malachi, it tells you to bring all the tithes and offerings into my house. so that there will be meat in my house. In other words, the house of God needs this. We done got concerned about the shepherd over God's house. We done got concerned whether or not he's doing the right thing or she's doing the right thing with the tithe. Guess what? News alert. That ain't none of your business. If you decide to go to that church, you should have prayed and asked the Lord if this is where you want me to be. Is this the church you want me to be planted in? So if you're getting up every Sunday and you going to that church, then you should have been praying. And if you've been going to that church on a regular basis on Sundays and you're not tithing in that church, then one of two things. You either are being disobedient to God. Either way, you've been disobedient to God. You either been disobedient to God because that ain't where God told you that he wants you, or you've been disobedient to God because you're not tithing. So that's disobedience and what he required from us. Right, obedience. He requires obedience. Amen. And so you want to make sure that you are lined up with God. God, is this where you want me to be? And once he said yes, this is where I want you to be, then that's where you need to start tithing, because that's where you're getting fed. And you can't worry. And I don't know about you, but I would not stay in the church if I didn't trust what they're doing with the money. I'm not going to stay in a church for years and constantly complain about what I think the church is not doing with the money or how they're misusing the money. Because who's the foolish one? The church or you? Exactly, you. Because you're staying somewhere that you don't trust. You wouldn't stay in a relationship, or you shouldn't stay in a relationship if you don't trust the person. If I was in a relationship with somebody and I didn't trust that they had my best interest at heart, it would be foolish for me to stay in that relationship. And we people do it. We've done it. We've all been guilty of it. But it would be foolish for me to stay in that relationship year after year after year if I don't trust the person that I'm in the relationship with. Trust is a key factor in any relationship, whether it's your relationship here on earth with other humans or your relationship with God. And when we don't do what God tells us to do and we're not obedient to what God tells us to do, then what we're telling God is, I don't trust you. Ooh, Jesus, I don't trust that you will supply all my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I don't trust that you're working all things together for my good, because I love you and I'm called according to your purpose. You see what I'm saying? He's told us in his word what he would do, but we got to trust that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Amen? So again, we're looking at his, hey, God's giving a warning to the people about their self-centered ways, their narcissistic ways. We've been hearing that. We heard that word. I think we've heard narcissistic more in 2018 than we ever heard it in our whole lifetime. Some people never heard it until then. But this sounds like to me that these are people that was narcissistic. They was just all about them. It's all about me, you know. And so they just were going, doing their things, and they was given no regard. There was no regard to the house of the Lord, of God. No regard. And then he took it into chapter 2 of Haggai. And we're going to go over to chapter 2 in Haggai. Now, this may seem a little bit about like the Bible said, but that's what we need. We need to break it down. I can't just get up here and preach you a good word and it sounds good and it ministers to your emotions and it itches your ears and you run out of here and you're excited and woo-wee, that was a good message. Now, I ain't saying there's something wrong with those kind of messages. They're good and they're needed at the right time. And this ain't the time. I can't give you a good feeling message. I got to give you the message of what God wants me to give you, what he wants me to have, and what he wants you to have. And what he wants us to know is that he ain't pleased, and we out of order. And we so busy worried about what we want, who we want, who we what we want, when we want it, how we want it. I want this. I want that. I want to do this. Oh, your breakthrough coming. Oh, girl, get excited. In the 12th hour, you're going to have it. Woo! And I know some of y'all think I'm crazy, but I hear it. I see it every day. I don't care what social media platform you go to, whether it's Twitter or Instagram, Snapchat, LinkedIn, Facebook. I don't care what it is. Every platform you go to, you see the social media preacher. Ain't nothing wrong with that. God gave us a platform to get the word. He said, well, nobody not, can't nobody claim they ain't never heard about Jesus. Can't nobody claim that they ain't never heard the gospel of Jesus. Everybody is going to have a chance to accept or not accept. Amen. And I believe that internet has given us the ability to get his word abroad, because the internet is not just the U.S., it's global. You got people chiming in to the internet and social media from all over the world. Even some places don't have water. Some places don't have water, but guess what? They could manage to get a connection. They could manage to sign in to Facebook. Even if it's but 3 minutes, they could manage to sign in. And so, you know, it used to be a time to look around and nobody had a cell phone. I know when I was a teenager when cell phones first came out, and if I'm telling my age, but the cell phones was the size of a small animal. They were huge, you know. The cell phone was huge, and you had to walk around with them, and you guys probably remember that. But anyway, they were huge. I don't even remember what the brand was back then. With the Motorola, I think it was Motorola, and they were these big old huge things, and they had these little batteries that you had to plug in and sit them on top of. But anyway, saying all that to say, you know, and then as you see, as things evolve, technology evolved, they got the cell phones got smaller and smaller and smaller. And at first they used to be very expensive, so you really had to have money to have a cell phone. It was only the elite that had cell phones back in the day. And then as technology happened and things began, you know, like I said, began to get smaller and more technology. Now, I don't know nobody that don't have a cell phone. You got 7-year-olds that's walking around with cell phones at school. Everybody got one. So that I'm saying that to say that technology has taken us places that men, that missionaries, you know, they can't be everywhere. But technology has allowed us the ability to be everywhere almost. You know, so the gospel, if we use it for good, because see, the enemy's using it. He's using it to get his job done. He knows the power in technology. He knows what he has, and he knows the platform he has. And just like we better know the platform we have to spread the good news, the enemy knows the platform he has, and he knows what he's spreading on it. And we've seen it. We see it daily, the stuff that he's spreading on it. So why aren't we as believers, why aren't you not spread using that platform to your advantage? Why are you not? You know, I hear people say, I'm not going to get on that. That's foolishness. And I'm not trying to convince you to get into social media. But what I'm saying is a platform. And if you use it for the right purpose, if you use it for kingdom business, God's business, then it's a great platform. And it will help us get the message out there. People need to know. Time is coming near. We see it going on everywhere. And people need to know he's saying, hey, let's get serious. What about my house? It's tore up. Like the young people said, it's tore up on the floor. My house is tore up. You guys gotta get it together. You gotta stop being about yourself. You gotta stop being selfish little Christians. You know, the little selfish fat Christians that go to church every Sunday, they're gonna show up and they're gonna sit in the first five pews. And they're going to hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, and clap their hands. And they're going to get a good word. And then they're going to walk right out of there just as fat. And they'll never knock on somebody's door. They'll never invite nobody to church. They'll never, you know, never, never. They ain't doing no ministry on the outside. And they sure not doing no ministry on the inside. But they'll come do what they got to do. And then they're going about their life. And then they spend the rest of the week doing what they do. We're, you know, worried about them, their life, who's in their life, what's the next event I'm going to go to, what's the next party, what's the next turn up. I'm not being a hypocrite. I'm saying when we know better, we better do better. And I know it's tight, but it's right. Amen? It's tight, but it's right. So let's get over to Haggai chapter 2. And let's just see what God has to say. I believe he loves us so much. You know, we could just act out, you know, and he still loves us. He still loves us. Even all the way back in those days of Hagar, he still loves us. Jesus came on the scene for us. He has sent men and women of God to minister to us, to make sure we get the word in us, to make sure we, you know, to make sure we know the truth. Amen? And he said he's still with us. Then we get over to Haggai chapter 2. And he says the temple will end up better than it started. So after I done just got on you, told you what you need to do, stop acting up, stop being about yourself, stop being about your own business. Look, he's telling us in chapter 1, look, open your eyes. Was it worth it? Was it worth it to spend $80,000 on a car? Was it worth it? Was it worth it to go to the casino and gamble off all your money and never hit a jackpot? Was it worth it now to be trying to figure out how you're going to pay your bills because you just spent it all on gambling? Is it worth it? Is it worth it to get in that relationship that you never even prayed to God about, that man or that woman, but you get in this relationship and you invest 2-3 years of your life living out of order? Is it worth it? We get upset when things don't go our way. I know I've been guilty. I'm raising my hand. I got a virtual wave going. I get upset sometimes when I'm believing God for something and don't manifest. And even in those moments of being upset, is it worth it? At the end of the day, is it worth it? Amen? Haggai chapter 2, verse 1. On the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of God came through the prophet Haggai. Tell Governor Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and all the people, is there anyone here who saw the temple the way it used to be, all glorious? And what do you see now? Not much, right? So get to work, Zerubbabel, God speaking. Get to work, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, high priest. Get to work, all you people. God is speaking. He said to us, get to work. Be about your father's business. Be about your father's business. And everything that you're desiring God for, you're asking God for, the root of it should go back to God. Whatever you believe in God for, it should be rooted and grounded back to God. What do you mean, Coach D? If you believe in God to help you start a business and give you the financial resources to start that business, then your business should be tithing to the house of God. Tithing to the house of God. If you believe in God for a marriage, then your marriage should be dedicated to God. Whatever you believe in God for, if I believe in God for good health, glory. And I do believe God for good health because in his word he says he sent his word to heal my disease and I am healed by his stripes. And even I'm believing God for good health because why? Because I want to be in health so that I could do what God has called me to do and I could run this race in excellence. And I can't run this race if I'm sick. I can't run this race if I'm overweight. Ooh, Jesus. I can't. It's difficult. It's difficult to run to the front door, let alone run a race. Amen? And so if I'm not in good health and my own temple is broken down, so it's twofold in the message. He's talking about the temple, the body, the temple of God. And your body is the temple of God. And many of us, and I'm talking about saints. I ain't talking about non-believers. I'm talking to us as saints. Many of us have wore our bodies out, doing all the wrong stuff, eating the wrong stuff, drinking the wrong stuff, You know what we've been doing, and now we're running around here overweight. We got diabetes, and we got high cholesterol, and we got this going on, and we got that going on, and I guarantee you the root cause of all sicknesses have to do with what we've been putting in our bodies, because that saying that says you are what you eat, that's a true statement. And we all been eating the wrong thing. I'm guilty. I am guilty of sin. But I want to do better. I want to do better because I need my health. I need to make sure that I remain in good health. I need, because there's things that God is calling me to do. He's calling me to the nation. He's calling you to the nation. He's telling you, I need you to. That great commission, it didn't say sit in the church and tell people. It says go out. Woo! It says go out. That's a directive. It's telling you what I want you to do. It didn't say sit down and tell. It didn't say stay at the church and tell. It didn't say go to Bible study and tell. It didn't say go to small home groups and tell. It said go out. Into all the nations. It says, and preach. Tell people about the gospel, the good news. What's the good news? The gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news is that we got a Savior. That we got a Savior. That salvation is a gift. And that's the good news, and that's what he's telling us. And in order for us to do that, the temple got to be in order. That's the temple, the body of Christ. We are part of the body. We are the temples of Christ. And if our temples is tore up and our temples is out of order, and so many of us, y'all know, let me give you an example. I'm not just talking. I'm talking about something that's real. How many of us work 12, 14 hours a week? I mean, a day. How many of us work 60-hour work weeks? How many of us is working two jobs? Because the first job ain't enough. I'm going to give you a little secret, and this was told to me before. And what was told to me, and I learned this at a very young age by a wise man, and it says if you have to get a part-time job, then the first job ain't the right job. So if you're spending all your time working, you work at this job 8 hours, and then you get off from this job, and you got to go over here and work another 4, 5, 6 hours because that's what you need to make things meet, then you at the wrong first job. Now, don't get mad at me if some of y'all working two jobs, part-time, full-time, overtime, in-between time. Don't get mad at Coach D. I get it. I get it. In the natural, I get it. But God is giving you a word in the spiritual realm, and he's telling you, you're working yourself to death. And how many of y'all could testify that you've been working since you were 17, 18 years old, and you done worked yourself darn near to death? You can barely walk. Your hip is hurting. Your knee is hurting. Your ankles are swollen. Jesus. You're falling apart. Because you done been working all your life and you've fallen apart. And some of us, once we get to a ripe old age and we get to that 50 and above, some of us can't even go work no more. We limping around, going through therapy, trying to get on SSI, trying to get a check. So we jacked up because we didn't take care of our temple. We was too busy doing us, too busy turning us. Some people got liver problems and all kind of other problems. Why? Because they turned up too much. Too much partying, too much drinking, too much doing dope and other stuff. Turning up, having fun. No worries in the world. I'm in my youth. I can do this kind of thing. But guess what? Those youthful days will catch up with you. Tearing up your temple. Amen. Tearing up the temple of God. Hallelujah. And so we go to the second chapter, and I started reading, and he said, God, get to work. He's telling us to get to work. Yes, and then I'm going to go into the sixth verse here. And he says, yes, get to work, for I am with you. Again, there he goes. He's with us. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He is with us. The God of the angel armies is speaking. Put into action the word I covenant with you. When you left Egypt, I'm living and breathing among you right now. Guess what? 2019. God ain't never stopped living. And God ain't never stopped breathing. He's always being here right with us, right now, even in the midst of our foolishness. He's been there. He ain't went nowhere. Don't be timid. Don't hold back. This is what God of the angel army said. Before you know it, I will shake up sky and earth, ocean and field, and I'll shake down all the godless nations. They'll bring bushels of wealth. Ooh, Jesus, they'll bring bushels of wealth, and I will fill the temple with splendor. God of the angel army says so. I own the silver, I own the gold, decree the God of the angel army. This temple is going to end up far better than it started out. A glorious beginning, but an even more glorious finish. A place in which I will hand out wholeness and holiness. Decree of God, decree God of the angel army. On the 21st day of the ninth month, that was just a couple of days ago, y'all. Again, this was in the second year of Darius. God's message came to Haggai. God of the angel army speak. Consult the priest for a ruling. If someone's carrying a piece of sacred meat in his pocket, meat that is set apart for sacrifice on the altar, and the pocket touches a loaf of bread, a dish of stew, a bottle of wine or oil, or any other food, will these foods be made holy by such a contact? And the priest said yes. The priest said no. So in other words, if you got the sacrifice, and if that touches anything else, it's not going to make it holy. Then Haggai said, how about someone who is contaminated by touching a corpse? If that person touches one of these foods, will it be contaminated? And the priest said, yes. Yes, it will be contaminated. Then Haggai said, so this people is contaminated. Their nation is contaminated. Everything they do is contaminated. Whatever they do for me is contaminated. God says so. Warning there. If you're not being obedient, obedience is better than sacrifice. And so you could think that you're going to church every Sunday, and you could go to church, and you could pray, and you could do all of that stuff, and God is saying that your offering unto him is contaminated. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. And if you're not being obedient, but you get up and think that your reasonable service is just to get up and go to church on Sunday, God knows your heart. And just because you're going to church or showing up in the building on Sunday is not moving God. That don't make you no more saved than standing in the garage makes you a car. I'm going to repeat that. You going to sit up in church every Sunday in disobedience makes you no more saved than standing in a garage makes you a car. Being saved is a condition of the heart. It's a confession. And it's just not a mouth confession. It's an action confession. And so a lot of people say, well, I confess and I believe Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior. That's a good confession. But see, we're going to do what we believe. So when we confess that and we don't believe it, you'll see it in our lifestyle. You'll see it in our actions. But if we confess that with our mouth, the second part of that people don't say when they say, oh, well, I confessed it. But what you didn't say is that we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart. Do you believe it in your heart? Because if you, whatever, the heart embraces this truth, the mind will support. So if I believe this in my heart, all my actions is going to support it. Do I fall off? Yeah. Will I make mistakes? Yeah. Sometimes you might ask somebody, what's 3 times 12? And they might tell you 20. Oops, I made a mistake. I mean, that's not 20, that's 36. You get where I'm going with this? We will make mistakes, but when we make them, we're supposed to recognize them immediately. Recognize your mistake. Repent, correct it. Repent and correct it. Recognize your mistake and then get back on track. But believing in our heart, believing is seeing. Believing is doing. When we believe something, when you believe you got a job, you get up and you go to that job. If you believe that you're in a relationship, then you won't be irritated when that other person go out and do something and cheat. Why? Because you believe you're in a relationship with this person. So when we believe it, we do it. Amen? And getting back to, hey, so he says, so he tells us, whatever they do for me is contaminated. God says so. Think back. Before you set out to lay the first foundation stone for the rebuilding of my temple, how did it go with you? Isn't it true that your foot dragging, half-hearted effort at rebuilding the temple of God were reflected in a sluggish, lazy, halfway, half doing the job, return on your crop, half the grain you were used that were used to getting half the wine? I hit you with drought and blight and hail. Everything you were doing got hit, but it didn't seem to faze you. You continue to ignore me. God's decree, glory. I'm doing everything. I done sent earthquakes. Ooh, I done sent floods. I done sent fires. And you still ignore it? You ain't got it yet? You still want to half Moses? You still want to half do this walk? You still want to half show up? You still want to half tithe or not tithe at all or not give and not be compassionate? You still want to act ugly after all that I done sent to get your attention? And we still want to continue to ignore him? Now think ahead from this same day, this 24th day of the ninth month. Think ahead from when the temple rebuilding was launched. Has anything in your field, vine, fig trees, pomegranate, oil trees, olive trees, failed to flourish? From now on, you can count on a blessing. From now on, you know. Now, I'm taking this as he said, now you know. I done gave it, I done laid it all out for you. I done showed you the ugly, and I done showed you this. I done showed you where you lack. I done showed you where you've been disobedient. I done showed you where you need to get back on track. And he said, now you can count on blessings. God's message came a second time to Haggai on the most memorable day, and I'm coming to a close. On the most memorable day, the 24th day of the ninth month, speaks to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah. I am about to shake up everything, to turn everything upside down and start over from top to bottom. Overthrow government, destroy foreign power, dismantle the world of weapons and armament, throw armies into confusion so they will end up killing one another. And on that day, this is God's message. I will take you, O Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, as my personal servant, and I will set you as a signet ring, the sign of my sovereign presence and authority. I've looked over the field and chosen you for this work, the message of God of the angel army. God is saying he has chosen you. He has chosen you. He has chosen you for work for a time such as this. This is the season. And he said, be about your Father's business. Get out of you. Get out of self. He's built us. Our Creator created us. And he created us with an empty hole inside of our soul. He did that on purpose because that was that's his place. And as we go through life and we begin to come into the full knowledge of Jesus Christ and we give our lives to the Lord and we get into vertical alignment with our Creator, that's his place. And up until you say yes and up until you surrender, up until you give your life to him, guess what? You're going to always feel empty. You're going to always feel like something's missing. You're going to always feel alone. You're going to always desire something. And if you don't find it in God because you won't surrender to him, you will find it in alcohol. You will find it in drugs. You will find it in sex. You will find it in deviousness. You will find it in anger. You will find it in discontentment, hallelujah. And he said, the only way you're going to get that emptiness fulfilled is through me, because I am your addiction. I should be your addiction. I should be all that you need, all that you want, all that you desire. He's saying, come to me, my children. You need me. We need him. We need him. It's through him that we move and live and have our being. It's his breath that gives us life. It's his breath that causes. It's his image. We are in his image. We need him. We can't do it without him. And yet so many of us are doing it without him. Guess what? You can't even change without him. You can't even change your wicked ways without him. You can't do it on your own. It's impossible. And so many of us say, well, when I get it together, when I get my life together, you can't get your life together without him. He is the glue that brings it all together. And he ain't never told you to stop doing nothing before you come to him. He said, come now. You heavy laden. You're burdened. He said, come to me just as you are. I don't care. I don't care what all you have on you. I don't care about your sin. I don't care about your ugliness. I don't care if you're broke. I don't care. He said, come to me. I got the solution. I got the, how can you be sick? How can you be sick? And somebody said, I'm the doctor. It ain't going to cost you nothing. I'm the emergency room. And you don't have to do a copay. All you got to do is come and surrender. Show up. That's all he's saying, is show up and see if I won't show up. I'm going to tell you, you can't play around with the Holy Ghost. You can't sit. You will sit around. And if you sit around in a spirit-filled church and you think you're sitting there because you're trying to fool people, you can't sit there long. You'll mess around and get saved for real. You'll mess around and have a God experience for real. Amen. Father God, we thank you on tonight. We thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the revelation knowledge. Father God, we say we repent. Father God, we repent before your throne. We ask for your forgiveness of our sins and our shortcomings. Father God, we pray as David prayed, creating us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, Father God. Lord, take not your presence from us. Father God, we just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this word. I thank you for encouraging me to get back on track, to get back on track and be about my Father's business, to be about your business, Father God. And Father God, I thank you that you're telling me that if I take care of your business, that you will take care of my business. And so, Lord, we trust you. On today, we trust you, Father God. We trust you, Father God. We trust your word. And, Father God, we know, Lord, that you are truly, truly working all things together for our good because we love you and we are called according to your purpose. Amen. Well, I want to thank each one of you. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm already running behind, but I'm going to be obedient. I want to be obedient. If you are listening in to this broadcast on tonight, now you can't say anything if you're listening through the internet, but if you are listening to this broadcast on tonight and it touched you, you know that you've been out of order, you know that you've been lacking, or you know that you have not taken care of the temple, and that temple could be simply you, the temple of God. And you know that, and you saying, Coach D, this message ministered to me. This message touched my heart. I know that I've been slipping. I know I've been half doing stuff. I know I have not given God all of me. I know this. If that is you on tonight, I'm going to ask you. You don't have to say your name. You don't have to say nothing. But I want you to just dial nobody else to see. I want you to dial one on your dial pad. You don't have to say nothing else. I'm not gonna pull you in. I'm not gonna put you on show. I just said that is you. I want you to dial one because if that is you, then I have a special prayer that I want to say for you. Again, just dial one on your dial pad. That'll let me know. Team does back off. The team is. I'm saying that's gonna let me know. So I can have a special prayer with you, if that is you, amen, if that is you. I see you, my brother, Is there anybody else? The dial one on your dial pad again. I'm gonna give everybody a couple of seconds for those who want to dial in. So maybe that's not your thing. I'm gonna pray for you. I'm the one who just dialed one. I'm gonna pray with you in a minute. If this is you and you're listening in and you've never truly accepted Jesus Christ, you've never gave your life to Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times through our lives, especially in my generation, when we were growing up, a lot of times you just had to go to church. You know, the elders, whoever that was, whether that was a neighbor or a older aunt, uncle, grandparent, they just took you to church. And a lot of times you just became a churchgoer. You went to church, you know, but you never actually gave your life to Christ. There's a lot of people that's in church that's not saved because they never actually gave their life to Christ. They've just been doing, you know, same place, same time type of thing, kind of robots, and they've just been going to church, but they never gave their life to Christ. If that would be you, then if you dial one on your dial pad, and I could pray with you as well. Amen. Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and say a prayer, and then we're gonna be dismissing. Father God, I pray for the person who dialed one on their dial pad. Lord, you know their heart, and you know all that's entailed. And so, Father, I lift that person up to you in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that you would touch their heart. I pray that you would send mature Christian laborers into their pathway. I pray, Father God, that they will have a Jesus experience, Father, that they will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Father God, I know that they have already confessed their sins. And Father God, that they have accepted you as Jesus Christ in their life. And Father, I pray that you will find them a church home, a home that they could go into, a home that they could grow, that they could get the word, that they don't have to be consumed with politics of the church and cliques, but Father God, a loving environment that will embrace them and that will minister to them, Father God. And Lord, that they will be willing and obedient vessels to be used by you in that church and in this season. So, Father God, we thank you. I lift them up and I keep them lifted before you. And Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the praise reports that will come forth in the name of Jesus as they seek you first, Father. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all things will be added unto them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to this night's broadcast. It was, I believe that the Lord's, the word was amazing. I don't know about you, but it gave me life. It energized me, and it just really brought forth for me a consciousness, awareness that I want to be about my Father's business. Amen. So I want to just say again, you know, just each one of us have our personal We have a personal journey that we have to follow. We have a personal journey that we have to walk, that we have to live. It's personal. This walk, this relationship, this journey is personal between you and God. And you know, be willing to be obedient. Be willing to listen. Spend time. Spending time with God sometimes is just in silence. There's no music. There's no nothing. It's just you and God. In that silent moment of you being still, not asking him for anything, but allowing him to download into you the desires of his heart, the desires of God's heart, because he'll download that into you, and what you'll start finding is you no longer want what you want. I no longer want what I want. You know, I want what God wants for me. And so now the things that I desire, the things I want, is really what I believe God wants for me. And so, and because he wants it for me and it's his desires, guess what? The manifestation of those desires begin to happen because it's not selfish. It's not selfish motivation. But I want what God wants for me. I need what I need from God in order to do what God has called me to do, you know. And so, again, I just want to thank you all for tuning in. Please tune in next Thursday as we bring more practical principles unto perception based on the Word of God. And then also tune in on the first, second, third, and fourth Tuesday of every month. We have different shows, only four Tuesdays a month. So the first Tuesday next week is Walking in Wellness with Vanessa Scott. The second Tuesdays is Voices of Hope with Samantha Odom and Pastor Gary Choice. The third Tuesday is He Say, She Say with Coach D and Pastor Ron. And then the fourth Tuesday is Woman to Woman. And we want to thank you. Know that you are truly, truly, truly loved and appreciated. Now, I'm going to play a song for those who you could tune out, you could sign off. But for those who just want to worship and just soak in the presence of this song, I don't own the rights to this song. So if you just want to let it, the words of this song minister to you, if tonight's message just put you in a place where you want to just really get a chance to experience the presence of God, then feel free to stay on. I will let this song play through. It's about 9 minutes. Amen. Have a good evening.
Is my heart I build an altar here, lifted arms right on this altar here, bending knees. So you seat high above. Broken heart, you can feel with love. So here's this heart I build an altar here. It's bruised, it's scarred. Till I built this altar here. Father, consume me. Come move me. Breathe life into me. Here on this altar. Father, consume me. You can move me. Breathe life into me. Here on this altar, Father, consume me. You can use me, breathe life into me. Here on this altar, Father, consume me. You can use me, breathe life into me. Here. So here are these hands. They haven't done so well, but you were there. Even when I made my bed in hell. So here's my life. Here's my life. Consuming fire, consuming fire, consuming fire. Oh, Father, consume me. You can use me, breathe life into me. Here on this altar, Father, consume me. You can use me, breathe life into me. Here on this altar, so Father, consume me. You can use me, breathe life into me. Here on this altar.
throne is yours. I lift my hands. Your throne is yours. I lift my hands. Your throne is yours. And I yield my heart. Your throne is yours. I yield my heart. Here on this altar, oh, as I lift my head, here on this altar, as I lift my head, here on this altar, the Lord use my head, here on this altar, oh, use my head.
Willing and everyone who's able to find a space for like both of your knees here, if you're able to find a space to kneel.